Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Joining me now is the multi-talented Nick Offerman live from Central Park. Pray tell why, you ask? Well, in the past on this show, Nick has talked to us about his woodworking, his whiskey admiration, his tenure as Ron Swanson in Parks and Rec. But today, Nick Offerman is here to talk about nature. That's the central theme of his new book titled Where the Deer and the Antelope Play, the Pastoral Observations of One Ignorant American Who Loves to Walk Outside. It documents his travels with companions like writer George Saunders and Jeff Tweedy from Wilco, and with his wife, comedian Megan Mullally, and uses them as jumping-off points for meditations on the nature of nature and humanity's relationship to it. Coming to us live from nature, New York City style, is Nick Offerman. Hi, Nick.
Hello. Good morning, Allison.
So your book is about the outdoors. You're outdoors without giving your exact location. What do you observe right now in Central Park that would help us understand what your book's about?
Well, I'm looking at a pond-like body of water, a great deal of autumn foliage that's attractive, and a pretty healthy rat. I mean, by New York standards, I'd give this one a B plus.
He's a big guy, huh? Or gal?
He's a three pounder.
Oh, my goodness. So one of the first things you tell us in the book is that you use the label agrarian to describe your values. What does that mean?
Well, agrarianism is a type of land use. It refers to a sensibility of people who cultivate food mainly in a way that's equitable for the soil, for the ecosystem that they're in, and also for the people and Mother Nature. So it's basically sensitive farming. It's producing food in a way on a piece of land so that we can keep producing that food ad infinitum so that our grandkids can also have delicious tomatoes.
So when you think about that, can that become a metaphor for other things in life? For those of us who are city-bound folks, happily so, can we have an agrarian set of values even if we can't grow tomatoes? I guess we can on our windowsills, but you know what I mean.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think it's imperative that everyone swings toward agrarianism because it's all connected. The problems of climate change, the problems of COVID-19, like all of our social ills are all connected because the way we treat the soil, the way we treat our livestock, the way we treat our watersheds, is related to the way we treat each other. Because we're all cogs and wheels in Mother Nature's sort of great mechanism, if we can figure out how to treat everybody fairly, whether that means human rights and voting rights, or it means not killing all of the microorganisms in the soil of the Midwest so that generations, years from now can keep growing food there. It's all connected.
My guest is Nick Offerman, live from a bench in Central Park. His new book is called Where the Deer and the Antelope Play, the Pastoral Observations of One Ignorant American Who Loves to Walk Outside. You write in the book you discovered the writer and poet Wendell Berry, and his work woke up something in you that was already there but just needed to be sort of tilled and excited. So we pulled a reading that Wendell Berry did for our public radio colleagues on the program On Being that speaks to some of the themes you go into in the book. Let's listen to The Peace of Wild Things, Wendell Berry. I think
yes.
We listened to it. Yes, we listened to it. Oh. Maybe. You're there. We're there. We're just getting
to it. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
Nick, what touched you about Wendell Berry's work?
Well, I grew up in a family with a lot of common sense and a great work ethic in a small town in Illinois. And when I read Wendell Berry, his work is so full of affection for just regular, hardworking people, specifically farmers. And what struck me was realizing that the corporate food agribusinesses that supply most of our food in this country actually aren't trying to make our food as healthy as possible. Instead, they're passing laws to make our food less healthy so that they can make profits. And that's the truth that struck me across the face. I was like, wait a second, that's crazy that we're not invested in trying to make our food as healthy as possible, but instead we're allowing companies to make our food less healthy so they can make more money. And so I said, I'm going to try and communicate the writing of Wendell Berry to people as much as I can for the rest of my life, because I think when everybody sort of wakes up to that truth that we're lazily blind to, where does our food come from? Who's making it and why? And are they taking care of Mother Nature? Are they taking care of the soil, the animals, the plants, and us? And the answer so often, far too often, is no, they're trying to make money. If you just look at the eggs at the grocery store, the farmer's market, the hilarious amount of adjectives that are legally allowed. Just for example, your eggs can say either organic or 100% organic. Those are two different classifications.
Right.
So I understand capitalism, and I understand like shucking and jiving, trying to sell your product to people. But I don't think the food market is the best place or the healthiest place for that kind of obfuscation to occur.
You use the word reverence to describe what you think is the ideal relationship with the natural world, and you contrast it with these, as you see these church billboards you see outside of an airport in Montana on your way to one of your on your travels. So, what does reverence mean to you, and what did those billboards make you think about reverence? Those religious billboards.
Well, gosh, I guess the root of my reverence is my human fallibility. I have to start any such answer with the idea that I'm going to screw something up today, maybe seven things. And so I have to keep my eyes and ears open and my heart open so that I can continue to learn and continue to try and screw up as infrequently as possible. And that allows me to notice what I think is right and wrong. And usually what is right is based in affection or kindness or compassion. What's right is based in giving rather than taking. It's based in making rather than destroying. So that's the root of the things that I revere. People who I learn from and who I can listen to who are also invested in the same things. That's the source of my reverence, and I think it's the same set of values that are at the core of most religions. Then there are billboards, the ones I talk about in my book, that are much more sort of commanding and harsh, that say, like, join our church, or our dogma is the only dogma. And they're harsh, and it doesn't strike me as inviting. I say, if you want me to come to your church, like, shake my hand and say, hey, how are you doing? How's your day going?
Mm-hmm.
If you're in need of comfort, we have this church. And, you can get a sandwich, you can get a hug, or just some kind words. But I don't think having billboards that shout at people is a good way to win people over to your ideology.
My guest is Nick Offerman. He is calling us live from Central Park. We are in New York City. I heard that giant horn as we're having this conversation about nature. How's the rat doing? Is he still there? Has he moved on?
No, he's moved along. Let me see if I still got this really fat squirrel munching on what looks like a little hazelnut. Yeah.
He's doing the what squirrels do. As you're walking these trails, you bring up Indigenous people's relationship with the land you're hiking and with land in general. What is it you admire about their philosophies?
Well, I mean, again, it's all part of the great, you know, looking at the human achievements in this country, which is something we're very good at. We're great at saying, we're terrific. You know, look at this building we built. We're amazing. But then eventually, the building will fall, or we realize that we're polluting the river, or whatever it is. That it's always a balance. That any human conversation requires nuance, and our relationship with the Indigenous people is certainly a huge subject in that category. And so when I'm hiking the trails, especially in the national parks, you're faced with this incredible dichotomy. On one hand, you're blown away by the natural beauty and the majesty of our nation's crown jewels. And on the other hand, if you think about it for a second, you realize, oh, it's so pristine because we brutally scraped the Indigenous people out of this acreage in the terrible way that we that we conquered this country through war and genocide and everything else. And one of the terrible mistakes in that is that these people have spent millennia developing successful economies, working, living in nature and producing food and supporting their families. And we dehumanized them so that we could commit the atrocities we committed, and thereby we threw away their culture. We threw away their knowledge. They had already done all the legwork of figuring out how to produce food in any given region. But we ignored that and said, look, here, you go to this reservation, we're going to bring in our European systems, and we're going to sink or swim. And, it's one of the things I'm trying to get across with this book is that we always need to bring that sense of nuance to any conversation. Mm-hmm. This country has made incredible progress in democratic ways, but we also have a really long way to go before all the citizens of this country, I think, feel that we're the greatest, that they're all being treated in an equal way, which is the purported objective of our country.
My guest is Nick Offerman, live from Central Park. The name of his book is Where the Deer and the Antelope Play, The Pastoral Observations of One Ignorant American Who Loves to Walk Outside. You are not walking alone. In the book, there's a series of these hikes with writer George Saunders and Jeff Tweedy of Wilco. That's an interesting trio. How did that come to be?
Yeah. We all met separately in the year 2014, just in a weird, trio of serendipitous meetings. We all met and kind of fell for each other and formed this three-way bromance. And started up a friendship that is going strong, and among other things, we all try to see each other whenever we can, and we commiserate and sort of lend an ear to each other when it comes to producing work or just being fans of each other's work. And that relationship led to, when I was beginning to think about this book, it was actually Jeff's suggestion that the three of us go walk somewhere pretty. And he said, you can, we always have really inspiring conversations. And he said, you could use our conversations for material for your book. And when your genius singer-songwriter friend says that, you hopefully say, thank you, Jeff Tweedy. Let me book a trip to Montana as soon as I can.
The name of the book is Where the Deer and the Antelope Play, The Pastoral Observations of One Ignorant American Who Loves to Walk Outside. Nick Offerman has been joining us from Central Park. Two things. One, Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. And thank you so much for having me.
And secondly, I'm going to try to book you live on the air now because you play the father to teenage Colin Kaepernick in a new film, the new Netflix film, Colin in Black and White. Will you come back and talk to us about that?
I would love to. I'm so proud to be involved with Colin and Ava DuVernay, who produced it and directed some of it. I was over the moon. I always wanted to work with her, and I really admire Colin. So I'd be happy to come back and talk about it.
Nick, have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me.